by the contending gods.
That's what's stated here in the verse. Different demigods. They may understand his greatness theoretically, but they cannot really taste the nectar. The real nectar of Krishna Prema means the nectar of really, really understanding on the level of the heart. Yes, on the level of true relationship in Krishna Prema. So that's there. And, of course, he can be understood through the Vedas, but not just through the Vedas. It's not that simple. As the verse says, he can be known through the words of the Vedas only when one understands their special purport. If you don't understand the deeper meanings of the Vedas, then even if you know the Vedas, or you have some Vedic knowledge, still you're not going to really know him on that transcendental level of the heart, of true relationship in Krishna Prema. So how are you going to then understand their special purports? Well, that is only by the mercy of Lord Krishna's pure devotees. That's the only way you'll actually understand the purport of the Vedic literatures in truth. Otherwise, it'll be some sort of gyan, just more like theoretical knowledge. So this is a very important point, that if we want to really understand the purport of the Vedas, we have to be connected with the pure devotees of the Lord. Otherwise, it'll just be theoretical. It won't be clear. There'll be room for speculation and so on like that. Yes, so then, after that discussion, then the point is there that the different avatars of the Lord have different features, and different devotees are attracted by different of those avatars, and they accept them as their Ishtadevas, or their like personal special deities. Yes. So, like, you got, well, Nrsimha is mentioned, Vamana is mentioned, Ramachandra is mentioned. That Nrsimha is frightening, but not for Prahlad. Lord Vamana is very attractive, even though he's described, Prabhupada used the term that he's a dwarf, but still he's very attractive. Lord Ramachandra, of course, is revered as a perfect king. So all these different avatars are there, and they're attractive in different ways to different devotees. But ultimately, they're all just different aspects of Krishna. This is the point which is being made here. They're all as different expansions, in many cases just partial expansions So, each one of them is the absolutely potent Supreme Lord, but except for Krishna, none of them exhibit all the potencies of the Lord. So therefore Krishna, who is the Lord of the Pandavas, Krishna is very special amongst the avatars. Yes, so this discussion is going to go on to verse 11. Here's verse 9. All other incarnations of Godhead expand from mere portions of his plenary portions. Great gods like Brahma are considered his material opulences, and material nature is his maidservant, standing always in view, ready to serve him. She enacts the creation, protection, and destruction of the universe. Yeah, so different incarnations, different expansions, they display different, or display as potencies to different degrees. Matsya and Kurma, they manifest Krishna's potencies less than fully. Those like Prithu are jivas, empowered by specific aspects of his nature. Then you've got Lord Brahma and other demigods who they are material reflections of Krishna's creative powers. Yes. So coming down step by step, coming down. So therefore, the demigods generally don't refer to the demigods as being pastime incarnations of the Lord. Yes. Because the reasoning is that because the Lord's pastime of creating the material sphere is not on the same level as his personal pastime, his personal pastimes, pleasure pastimes, in which he reciprocates with his loving devotees. Like Prahlad and Hanuman, of course, or like the Pandavas. Yes. So, let's have a look here. That here's an interesting thing. Sridhar Swami, the great Acharya, commenting on the sixth chapter of the second canto, verses 43 to 46, he says that different of the expansions of the Supreme Lord display specific parts of the Lord's potencies. Some display great mahas, physical strength. Others display ojas, sensory strength. Others display sahas, mental power. Bala, steadfastness. Shri, beauty. Hri, avoidance of karmic entanglement. Vibhuti, wealth. Atma, intelligence. Or Adbhuta Arna, amazing effulgence. Wow. Different of the avatars display different of these potencies of the Lord. Yes. so like this. Then there's the demigods who are ruling the material nature and step by step coming down from Krishna himself through different avatars, then down to the demigods. And then he mentioned Maya Devi. He mentioned material nature is his maidservant, standing always in view, ready to serve him. She enacts the creation, protection, and destruction of the universe. There's an interesting comment here at the end of the purport. All the incarnations and vibhutis of the Supreme Lord have their source in Sri Krishna. Maya, the controller of material existence, cannot have an intimate loving relationship with him, but must constantly attend him as a maidservant. She appears prior to the guna avatars, and she is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the universe. Thus Brahma and Shiva, being subordinate to her, are humbly situated as servants of the servant of the personality of Godhead. 10. When Brahma and other demigods responded to the lamenting Mother Earth, together they all stood on the shore of the milk ocean, observing strict vows. They recited prayers and worshipped the Supreme Lord, meditating with full concentration. Nonetheless, they were unable to obtain his favor. Sure, amazing. Well, of course, that's from the beginning of the 10th canto, the beginning of the story of the appearance of Lord Krishna. So, you probably know the story. Mother Earth approached Lord Brahma, and then with Lord Brahma, and along with so many of the demigods, they went to the shore of the Milk Ocean, which surrounds Swetadweep, the island where, the white island in the middle of the Milk Ocean, where Shiradakshaya Vishnu lives. So, Purusha Sukta and other Vedic prayers were recited, but still the Lord didn't exactly respond. Yes. Not a single word or gesture to reassure them. Let's see. So it was only after the Lord made a transcendental broadcast to the heart of Lord Brahma that they got some response for him. But otherwise, the demigods learned that just by some mechanical meditation of reciting some Vedic verses, you can't really get the personal association of the Lord. So verse 11. Brahma then perceived in his heart the Lord's command, which he heard as an unembodied voice in the sky. He repeated that command to the demigods, and they all became satisfied. So the demigods, like we were saying, they didn't get, they recited Purusha Sukta, various other prayers, in a kind of formal way. But they didn't really get a response, certainly not some direct spoken response. But still, they are devotees. They're not very advanced devotees, but they are devotees. And when you're a devotee, The Lord gives mercy. The Lord gives mercy. So, eventually the demigods did get their answer from Shri Nakshai Vishnu, but not directly, rather through Lord Brahma. The demigods didn't hear anything, but Lord Brahma did. And then he informed them of what the Lord had said. So, yeah, Brahma received the Lord's order, but only in the core of his heart. And after he had carefully withdrawn all the external functions of his senses and mind. And he was able to hear the order of the Lord only as a voice in the sky from an unseen speaker. Sure. That's amazing. You know, to get the Lord's darshan and communication, like relationship with the Lord, that is something special. Right. So then Lord Brahma repeated the instructions of the Lord to the demigods, that they should all take birth in the families as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus. And then Lord Krishna would appear. Okay, so now, from verse 12 to verse 14, there's a slightly different subject matter that ordinary devotees like Narada Muni may satisfy the Lord in a formal type of way like the demigods, but loving devotees like the Pandavas, they actually bring the Lord under their control. So this is from verse 12 to verse 14. Let's read through. Only in some confidential meetings did wise sages like Garuga divulge who Krishna really is. He whom the personality of Godhead Narayan only partly equals. No one else even coming close. And 13. Thus we hear of Sri Krishna's presence in Mathura city as the deity called Durga Vishnu, Mahahari, Mahavishnu, and Mahanarayan. Yes. So, yes, so Krishna, when he appears, he is superior to the other avatars. We just read that Garga Muni, during the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram, he glorified Krishna in different ways. And one of the ways was that he's going to be just like Narayan. That was verse 12. But actually, Lord Krishna is the person who Narayan only partly equals. No one else even comes close to Krishna. So as no one comes close to Krishna of the different avatars and expansions, similarly, no one comes close to the devotees of Krishna like the Pandavas amongst the different devotees of the different forms of the Lord. There's a really great difference. So therefore the Pandavas are very special. This is what Narada Muni is saying, that the Pandavas are very, very special amongst devotees, because they're devotees of Krishna, unlike other devotees who are devotees of Lord Narayan or different forms of Lord Narayan, of Lord Vishnu, different forms of different expansions from Krishna. So just as those forms of the Lord expanded from Krishna and not on the level of Krishna, so the devotees of those forms are not on the level of the devotees of Krishna. So 14. We can only pray to satisfy him through our disciplines of silence, peace, and devotion. But being naturally satisfied with you, he has even submitted himself to your control. So this is Narada Muni again. He counts himself as a devotee of Narayan, and indeed generally he's seen to be like that. He's not quite the same as the Pandavas or particularly the Brijbasis. So here then, Narada Muni is making the point that me and devotees like me, we try to please the Lord in different ways, but they're more like these formal ways, like formal meditation, formal yoga, some ritualistic system of worship. That's how we try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you satisfy Krishna through your loving service to such a degree that he comes under your control. Yes, so even though Narada is a first-class Vaishnav and he figures prominently in Srimad Bhagavatam doing many wonderful things, particularly preaching to different people in amazing ways. So even though he's a first-class Vaishnav like that, but he's just not on the level of the Pandavas. And we heard in the previous chapter how Prahlad Maharaj was saying that he has become their messenger, he has become their servant, he's become all these different things, subordinate to the Pandavas. So, yes. So now we come to verse 15. Let's just have a look here. And here from 15 to 17. Yeah, it's really, you know what it is. From 15 to 29. From 15 to 29. Narada Muni explains that Krishna himself is unique for all sorts of different reasons. Reasons like, in other forms, the Lord doesn't give liberation to many. In fact, many who he kills in other forms didn't get liberation. Yes. Then, for example, in Lord Ram's pastimes, a few got pure devotion, but not prema. Then, anyway, let's go through and we'll see how it's explained. 15. Just hear what I had to say. Before, Krishna gave the gift of liberation only to a qualified few. And this has always been the rule. Yes. Krishna gave, to a qualified few. 16 and 17. Kalanemi, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and others were killed by the Supreme Lord, but none of them received liberation. And pure devotional service was given to no one but Prahlad, who received it from Sri Nrisimha. So, yes, these different personalities, they were not dealing with Lord Krishna himself, but different of his expansions. And the ones mentioned here, Kalanemi, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and others, they were killed by the Lord, but they didn't get liberation. And only Prahlad got pure devotional service. And that was from Lord Nrisimhadeva. So the Lord Vishnu's avatars really give liberation, and even more rarely give pure devotional service. Then 18 and 19. Later, the incarnation Lord Raghunath bestowed pure devotion upon a few. You see, what was mentioned before, and just now, is that some demons got liberation when killed by the Lord, some didn't. Only a few did. And generally, not many get pure devotion. So here now, Lord Ram, he's somewhat special amongst those different avatars of Vishnu. He gave pure devotion to a few. Guha, Hanuman, Jambavan, Vibhishan, Dasarath, and the blessed Sugriva. But in relation to those devotees, we never hear of prema. So they got pure devotional service, but they didn't really get prema, the utmost stage of pure devotion. Yes. So that's interesting, isn't it? They got bhakti, which amongst the avatars, generally pure bhakti. It's rare that people get it. But with Lord Ram, a number of people got pure bhakti, but they didn't get prema. Yes. So Narada continues, but now so many persons have been granted liberation, have been made devotees, and filled with pure prema, all by your maternal cousin. The maternal cousin of the Pandavas, that's Lord Krishna. Yes, he's their maternal cousin. So Lord Krishna, those things that were really achieved from other avatars, expansions, liberation and becoming devotees, so many achieved those things from Krishna. And many got pure prema. Many got pure prema from Krishna, which generally the other avatars didn't really give anyone, or hardly. Narada continues, and by the power of his glory, demons fit for hell have become immortal after being slain by him or by such companions as Arjuna. So yes, let me just read a little bit of this purport here. From infancy, Krishna killed many demons, beginning with the witch Putana. Arjuna and other devotees also killed demons, and kings who were partial incarnations of demons, like Karna and Duryodhana. These demons and inimical kings were candidates for punishment in hell, because they were active opponents of the Vaishnavas. But despite being destined for hell, by the transcendental influence of Sri Krishna, they obtained liberation. And not even directly from Krishna, at least in some cases. Even some of them just from devotees. How's that? That liberation, which other forms of the Lord did not give to many, was given to some demons by Krishna's devotees, not even Krishna himself, but by Krishna's devotees. So Krishna is so special that his devotees can do things sometimes which even the Vishnu avatars can't do. Even some of these hellish demons. Yes. Okay, so 22 and 23. Thoughtful sages like Vishvamitra, Gautama and Vasishta were intent on austerities, mantra meditation, and spiritual knowledge. They had various goals in life. But while they were on pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna mercifully inspired them to pray to him for pure devotion. Thus they obtained it and became fully dedicated to his devotional service. So, yes, let's just read a little bit of the purport. It's interesting. Vishvamitra is an especially austere sage. Gautama, an expert chanter of mantras, and Vasishta, a deep knower of spiritual philosophy. Prior to meeting Lord Krishna, they were not pure devotees, but were seeking success on the paths of mundane religiosity, prosperity, enjoyment, and liberation. Purified and inspired by seeing Krishna at the holy site of Kurukshetra, these three, Vishvamitra, Gautama, and Vasishta, and other sages, submitted a transcendental request, which we find recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84:26. And here's that verse. Let's read the verse. Today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts, but only those who render you wholehearted devotional service and in this way vanquish the soul's covering, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. So, Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains that these sages considered their audience with Krishna, meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra, to be the ultimate reward of all their accumulated religious achievements and activities. And being aware at that time, in that place, that somehow they had got some extreme good fortune to have the association of Krishna, they were feeling shy. They were feeling frightened. But understanding that we've got special good fortune here like we've never had before, they dared to ask Krishna for the favor of pure devotional service. And the purport says, in case Krishna might try to dissuade them, saying, why do you need devotional service? Just continue performing austerities as you always have. They reminded Krishna that in the past, the coverings of the gross and subtle bodies were transcended only by his pure devotees, not by impersonalist ascetics. Amazing. So, yeah. Now, there's a continuation of discussion by Narada of the special position of Krishna and how he was able to help living entities in very unfortunate conditions, very improbable conditions for making spiritual advancement. That Krishna was able to help them to come to much higher levels. Even immobile creatures in species covered by the mode of ignorance, trees, creepers, and so on, have been raised to the consciousness of pure goodness. Now those trees and creepers are raining down a nectar sap of Krishna prema. Wow. So even these plants, creepers, trees, they've got prema from Krishna. Yes. So, of course, generally trees, creepers, they're very low. They're very low in terms of their positions amongst the species. They're very much in the mode of ignorance. But the trees and creepers of Vrindavan, they are pure devotees who are transcendental to the modes. No longer covered by ignorance. So, yes. So, but by Krishna's mercy, even these living entities who are otherwise just hopeless, they came to the level of Krishna prema. Nice little comment here. The sub-animal species, because Krishna looked at them, the sub-animal, lower than animal species, were uplifted to the pure consciousness called Shuddha Sattva, means pure goodness, transcendental goodness. in which the Vaishnavas realize Krishna consciousness. Or, taking another meaning of the word Shuddha Sattvika Bhava, the trees and plants of Hastinapur manifested the Sattvika ecstasies of being stunned, having one's bodily hair stand on end, and so on. They constantly rained down love for Krishna in tears of love disguised as sweet sap. 25. Oh, Krishna's brothers, how can the infinite wonders of his bodily beauty, his effulgence, and his charm be properly described? Features so attractive have never been seen in anyone else. Sure, that's really something. So, yes, his different features, his bodily beauty, his effulgence, his charm, the charm of his character, how can they be properly described? They can't be properly described. Features as attractive as those have never been seen in anyone else. So Narada is saying, even to try to describe Krishna's unique beauty is futile. There's no point, you just can't do it. 26. Those unprecedented attractive features of Krishna leave one struck with amazement. So also do his pastimes, his qualities, his pure love, his glorious virtues, and the places where he sports. Yeah. So not only the attractive beauty of Krishna is overwhelming, but his pastimes, his qualities, even the places where he has his pastimes, they are just completely amazing. Everything about Krishna is attractive, not only his physical beauty. Everything he does is playful and full of variety. His virtues like compassion are all perfect and unlimited. And he loves his devotees unconditionally as they love him. He exhibits all the traits of noble character, like concern for unfortunate persons, and submission to the desires of his devotees. Sri Vrindavan Forest and his other pleasure grounds also attract the hearts of all who enter them. The Pandavas, whom Narada has addressed as Krishna's brothers, have certainly realized these truths and are therefore most fortunate among human beings. Let's carry on just one more verse. I think that had he not descended in his own original form, the world would never have known his true identity as the personality of Godhead. Okay, let's just read the purport. It's a little, anyway, it's interesting, a little unusual. There is a logical dilemma in this description. If the Supreme Lord's superlative charm did not exist before Krishna's appearance, that charm would not be eternal. If it did exist, then Krishna would not be superior to other forms of Godhead. If his charm existed before he appeared, then it would mean that Krishna is not superior to the other forms, because the other forms would have been displaying it. Therefore, that charm would have existed before he appeared in others. This apparent contradiction, however, is easily resolved. Before Krishna appeared in Mathura 5,000 years ago, his eternal, complete attractiveness had not been seen in this world for a very long time. It had been forgotten even by the Vedic sages and demigods. Thus, without the advent of Krishna himself, no one would have had any idea of the extent of his perpetual glories. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami ki jai. Gaur Premanand.